Our scripture reading comes to us from Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. And as we think about this scripture, I want you to imagine just some of the songs, some of the words from that song. And one of those words at the very end of the song is, "Sinners, let's go down." When I was in seminary, the class was singing the song. I didn't know what was going on. I arrived late, which was probably normal for me. But they started singing the song, and it was around forgiveness. And at the very end, when they started singing, "Sinners, let's go down to the river to pray," everyone got up. Fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers had all come up, and there were still some folks sitting around, like myself, who had no idea what was going on. And when it said, "Sinners, let's go down," everyone stood up. And went and sang. So today we're talking about forgiveness. You all have been given a rock. If you have not received a rock, after our scripture reading, I hope you raise your hand. I want to make sure that folks in the balcony, in our choir, if you haven't gotten a rock, and anyone here, we want to make sure you get them. So there's going to be some folks in the back looking for hands raised after this. It'll go well with our sermon, and I want to make sure you have it. Let us listen to the word of God. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and he could not pay. His Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. His Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you have not had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We may not realize it, but each week we say that we forgive. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to forgive our debts and promise to forgive our debtors. We say it, but do we actually mean it? That we'll forgive our debtors, or are many of you like me, this is a memorized prayer, and you don't even realize what you're saying. According to the church council records in 16th century Switzerland, a man was asked to repeat the Lord's Prayer, and he said he didn't know it because he knew that if he said it, he'd have to forgive the merchant who cheated him. And that was something he had no intention of doing. Now, I gave everyone a rock this morning. I don't know about you, but I love to feel a rock in my hands. And when I do, I like to know it intimately. I like to feel those smooth and rough spots. So hopefully this morning you've gotten to touch or feel your rock. If you haven't already, I want you to put it in your hands and I want you to feel the rock. Last week I preached about thin places, and this week I'm preaching about rough places. So I want you to picture, while you feel those rough parts of your rock, those things that have been rough in your life, especially those things in which you found hard to forgive. Maybe it's a person in your life who really hurt you. Maybe it's someone right now who's hurting you. You may have experienced emotional abuse. You may have tried to protect a family member from abuse. Or maybe you've been hurt or bruised or scarred, literally or emotionally. And you might not want to go there. In fact, you do a lot of things probably to keep from going there, because those are the parts of us that are rough. Because each of us have real, hard, bad wounds. And we don't like them. And the reality is, unlike the rock, which is hard, some of these wounds are still raw. We might have experienced evil or sin or hurt in our lives, and when we say those words from the Lord's Prayer, maybe those especially rough parts, we have found hard to forgive. I know the reality, which is many of us end up carrying hundreds of hurts and pains, those rough places. There's many of them, and they can weigh us down. They can become burdens. They become barriers to living a full life. And today in our scripture reading, Peter asked Jesus about forgiveness. How many times must we forgive, Jesus? Seven times? Now, Peter's sharp, and he knows that seven is a perfect number. So he's essentially asking Jesus if we should have perfect forgiveness. And Jesus tells him no. In fact, you should forgive 77 times, which means he expects more than perfect forgiveness. And he tells a story about a king who forgives a $100,000 debt, which is far-fetched. No one would be able to pay off such a debt. And yet when the servant pleads with him, he has mercy and forgives him. And then what does the servant do? The imbecile throws a man in jail for not paying him a $10 debt. I want you to keep in mind that in no way should an abused victim continue to be in a cycle of abuse by simply forgiving. In fact, right before this passage, it talks about how the victim should approach, sometimes with others, the one committing the offense. So in no way should someone like Janae Rice, who was punched by her football player fiancé in an elevator, you might remember, forgive him and continue in that relationship. But you and I know those rough places in our lives, the areas that are really hard to forgive. Are we really supposed to offer more than perfect forgiveness? 77 times. Rabbi Harold Kushner tells a story about a woman in his congregation. She's a single mother who's divorced, and she's working to support herself and her three young children. And she says to him, "Since my husband's walked out on us, every month is a struggle to pay our bills. And I have to tell my kids we have no money to go to the movies while he's living it up with his new wife in another state. How can you tell me to forgive him?" And he answers her this way: I'm not asking you to forgive him because what he did was acceptable. It wasn't. It was mean and selfish. I'm asking you to forgive because he doesn't deserve the power to live in your head and turn you into a bitter, angry woman. I'd like to see him out of your life emotionally as completely as he is out of it physically. But you keep holding on to him. You're not hurting him by holding on to that resentment, but you're hurting yourself. The truth is, if we don't forgive, if we hold on to these hurts and these pains and these scars forever, if we don't offer more than perfect forgiveness, then we really aren't living the life that God wants us. We're giving all the power to those who hurt us. In fact, if we don't forgive them, then we become defined by those rough spots in our lives. That's what defines us then. And most of these things have nothing to do with who we really are. God knows that we are much more than the pain and the hurt and the scars in our lives. And that's why Jesus tells us to let those things go. Not to have just perfect forgiveness, but to have more than perfect forgiveness, because that's the only thing that will provide freedom from those hurts. So we're to let them go, so they don't have power over our true God-gifted self. So I propose to you today to look at your rock, to feel it, and to silently place the burdens and the hurts, the roughest parts, those things you have a hard time of letting go, the things you cannot forgive or refuse to forgive, those things when you think about them bring tears to your eyes because they've hurt you so bad and for so long. I imagine you know what I'm talking about. And if you were asked to say the Lord's Prayer right now, honestly, you might say you didn't know it because you didn't want to forgive the one who hurt you. That's the thing I want you to place in that rock. Last Sunday, our church celebrated 190 years, and we've got incredible things in our church's history to celebrate, but there's also been hurts and pains that still linger here. I know because I hear them in subtle ways, in not so subtle ways, too. Leadership changes, people taking sides, financial decisions that you don't agree with, the selling of furniture and historical artifacts, pastors or interims who might have disappointed you. Now, I wish I could push a magic button and change all those things, but I can't. They've happened. We can't fully continue the celebration this year by holding on to those things. In order to live into our legacy, we need to place those things also into our rocks and give them to God. Now, in a moment after my sermon, we're going to sing our next hymn, How Great Thou Art. And when you're ready, I want you to bring your rock forward. I want you to place it in a basket or on next to the baptismal font. And when you're ready, in the baptismal font, in the water, is a smooth, clear glass pebble. And when you let go of your rock, when you forgive, in that instant, I want you to take the new smooth glass pebble and recognize that's what God intends for you and me. If you can't come up, you might have a friend or a neighbor help carry your rock forward and get one for you. And I want you to give God the burdens, those hurts and those scars, the rough places in your life, and forgive your debtors with more than perfect forgiveness today. Not to say that our debtors didn't hurt us or do wrong to us, but so it doesn't hold us back from being the people God intends us to be. And these smooth, round pebbles from these baptismal waters will be a constant reminder to you and me of what more than perfect forgiveness looks and feels like. And I hope you hold on to the forgiveness instead of those rough places. And I hope every time you say the Lord's Prayer, you can say it to God with integrity, with freedom. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Because God's forgiven you and me. Forgive yourself. Forgive others 77 times. Let these things go so they don't define you, so that we can live into the legacy that God desires of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.